Hello, and welcome back to As I Stretch. Like, perfect timing
on my part.
It was
really good timing.
It's mysteries.
Murders.
Monsters.
And your moms.
And I'm Julia.
I'm Nicole.
And we're here.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're here.
We made it back.
Yeah, yay. October will be interesting to see how often we get to do this.
I know. I got a shout out during commencement. My boss was doing all the senior leadership does their speeches. Mm-hmm. And my boss got up and did his and said, when the first time you do something, you know, it doesn't always work out great, but you gotta keep trying, was like kind of his message. And he's like, you know, like the first time you play basketball or do a podcast, and he's like, right, Nicole? And I'm like, you're right. I wanted to yell back, don't listen to the first episode.
It's not a good gauge. It's not.
It was a good story, but like we had no idea what we were doing. Our sound was terrible.
Oh, it was so bad.
I mean, our sound is still not great, but it was really bad.
Our sound now is comparable with some like bigger podcasts that I fucking listen to.
Yeah, like, no, it is. It's not. No, I don't mean to, like we're just like we're not in a studio or anything, but it's still pretty good.
Yeah,
so no, weird it is. Things like that happen. No, but I was laughing so hard. I was like, I wanted to yell to the whole auditorium, like, don't listen to it.
First episode.
So anyway, that was my fun little. And now everyone I work with knows that I have a podcast, so.
Which is cool.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think some people I know. But I don't see a lot of people that I work with, so it doesn't matter. I'm in a building by myself.
I use it as a fun fact sometimes. Like, when I do, like, a presentation for students, like, you want to tell them a little bit about yourself to, like, kind of, like, open it up. And it's always a good fun fact because, like, I mean, like, telling students that I live in Mansfield with my husband and my dog and my kid, it's great. Like, what else am I going to say? Yeah. So, like, I need to, like, it's a nice little fun tidbit. So, yeah, I almost always get someone that comes up and goes, oh, my God. What's your podcast? And I don't think they ever follow through on it, but I tell them, and then like they get so excited. So
we should just get like little business cards to hand out to people.
I should.
With like a QR code on them.
Yeah.
I did that for my photo, like for my like photography page. There's a QR code in the back and it links to the website.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, that was my fun little. I had to tell you all that.
The only thing fun that I went to a Ghost concert.
Nice.
Ghost and Amon Amarth, and I took my husband, which was fun. He said he had a good time, so I'm just inclined to believe that he had a good time. He didn't look miserable, and it's not super heavy, so I was like, okay, this is a good one to take him to. And the show. I love when like rock and metal bands have like a full stage set up, like think like Alice Cooper style, like it's like there's theatrics happening in the background, and I absolutely love that. Amon had a great setup. It was so cool. Like they had Vikings fighting on stage.
Yeah, I saw your pictures.
Loki came like, out at one point.
Nice.
And The helmet that was actually what the drummer was on had eyes, or like the eyeballs, and they kept changing, and at one point it was just eyes like looking around the crowd, which I thought was incredibly creepy.
Nice.
But it was fine. And then Ghost setup looks awesome because it looks like a massive cathedral. And like, so other bands like In This Moment are doing the same thing. They have this huge stage set up and I love it, but I have one problem. And if any of them are ever listening, please take this into consideration. The number of outfit changes and how often they're happening needs to be cut down into like half. Like, because like even like if you think like Taylor Swift and Beyonce, they do costume changes. There's like at least 15 costume changes.
I know.
But they're singing at least 3 to 4 songs before said change happens.
Yeah, like if you're breaking it up so much to keep like...
Like, so Maria Brink, who's the lead singer In This Moment, I swear, like after every song, disappeared into her little cubby hole to get changed and then come back out, and which means the band's filling in with music, which is fine. I love listening to the actual band and like the other members play music. And Ghost was the same way. Like, so Tobias Forge is the, like, he writes and sings the music, and he plays, God, are we on Papa Emeritus? Like, oh my God. Are we? No. It's not Emeritus anymore. I don't know. But anyway, one of the Papas, the current Papa, like, every song he'd walk behind the stage and, like, come back out in something else. And, like, it just, it's a little much after a while. Like,
yeah, it's kind of cool. And then if you, well, it's like anything. If you overdo it, it becomes, like.
Right. Like, don't leave every, like, every not, two songs. It,
yeah.
No. Like, condense it down. But I do love the theatrics. I love. Because it's a show, like, and, you know, it's cool to see.
Yeah, I had a lot of people I know went to that show, so.
The Ghost Show?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I feel bad for anybody who didn't get a seat in the pavilion and had to sit out on the lawn in the pouring fucking rain. And we sat, thankfully, on the, we were, if you're on the stage, it's stage left, but if you're looking at the stage, it's to the right of the stage. Because our section was dry, but if you were on the other side, the rain, the wind was pulling in that way. So even if you were under the, like, you could see, like, in the lights during the concert that the rain was coming in and hitting everybody on the stage. Wow. And in between the songs, like, when the lights would go down, you could see people out, like, mopping the stage up, trying to keep it safe, like, for the band, which was really cool, like.
Oh, yeah, but that sucks.
And then they had, so Ghost had, like, a bunch of, fireworks that didn't go off, and I think because they got wet.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So it was just a loud pop, but there was no spark.
Mm.
Anyway, that's the only fun thing that I've done. And then I've done some photos, and I have some Ghost photos, and I'm going to plug myself. I have a whole bunch of Halloween minis coming up this month, next month, and then in October I have a whole different idea, but if you want, honestly, anything spooky, like, I have a bunch of masks, I have the Ghost sheets. Somebody wanted, like, family scarecrow ones. I'm like, I'll do that too. If it's Halloween themed, I'll fucking shoot it.
Mm-hmm.
But Intrinsic Exposure is my Facebook page and my website. And if you want more details, just go there. And that's my plug.
Sounds good.
Sorry, I have to, like, plug myself.
No, you. No, that's what we're here for.
So, all right, I'm first this week. And yep. This was, you know what's funny is that I started to do this because I was really initially very excited about it. And then it's one of those stories where the more you look into it, the more you're like, anticlimactic. But I wrote it, so I'm going to fucking do it anyway. And I have a title, and it's just, oh, man. Because it's not very. And then it's, I shouldn't have prefaced with that because.
Well, yeah. A lot of people, like, so I know the story that you're talking about.
Yeah.
And I'll say this. I know why you're saying that, but also there are people that believe.
Yeah. What I'm going to tell you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like 100%.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And you can find modern conspiracy theorist podcasty type people talking about it. So it's not even like one of those ones where we do where it's like. You know, it's been discounted over time. Like,
and it hasn't. It hasn't.
It's people just, still deaf, whether you believe or not, people
right.
People do.
So, I like, at first I would, okay, all right. So, it is interesting, and beyond the conspiracy stuff, it's just one of those things where you're like, what the fuck?
You yes. Know?
Just what the fuck in general. This episode is brought to you by my husband, Jared. And we do the typical, like, thing as parents where we're quickly trying to have conversations in between being interrupted by small children. And this was one we were talking about. I don't even know what the fuck. I think we're always talking about, like, politics in some sort of way and how we just fucking hate our government. Period. Exclamation point. And we also talk about weird shit, and he brought up this topic, and at the time, I don't think I'd ever heard of it, and if I had, it's something that I filed away and don't fucking care, and just let it go.
Yeah.
So, I did find a documentary that was made about it, which was just wow, and not in a good way, but today I'm going to talk about the not-so-secret bro society known as the Bohemian Club. So, we're going to go back in time because, you know, the origins of this club actually have, like, a legit origin and where the name comes from.
The origins are so cool, and that's what I think makes me so mad about it, because the way it started is so cool, and then it begins, basically, I don't want to give it, like, okay. I'll let you talk, but that's what makes me so sad.
So, the area in which we're talking about is Bohemian Grove. It's a legit place. It's around 2,700 acres, and it is in Monte Rio, California. It is a privately owned, which is a big shocker, right, property. And now it is a rich retreat for rich and powerful, but only men. So the Bohemian Club was established first in 1872. And then 6 years after it was established, it was decided that a summer camp was a good idea for its members. The club was originally for journalists, artists, and musicians, hence the bohemian aspect of that.
And they were like struggling ones, not like famous ones. Like,
well, it was just, and it was just,
like, yeah, they wanted artists. Like the weirder you were and like the better. More interesting right. you were, like that's how you got
so
there.
So this club was founded by artists for artists as a retreat.
Which is so cool.
So how this party that we're going to discuss came about. So one of the founding members' name is Henry Edwards, and he at the time was a stage actor and was relocating, I think, to New York or something. So the group decided to get together and have an elaborate send-off party in the Grove. And someone was like, hey, this is a great sausage fest. We should do this every year. And they did. Originally, the land that they used was rented, but eventually members of the club purchased the now property. And the club limits itself to around, like around 2,000, maybe 700 people. And the men who are currently part of this, it's a membership. They have to pay dues and fees. And those who want to be on the list will wait for years for an opening. So, you know, if you are now rich and famous or part of the elite society and you want to be a part of this until there's an opening.
You have to be conservative.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Sort of. I mean, there's been people in the Grove that were considered not conservative.
There were, but not anymore.
You have to be. Anyway, I'll just keep going. They also have to be important in some way. So each member is associated with a camp, and it seems that these camps also have some sort of hierarchy. There are 118 of these camps, and each one has a rustic sleeping quarters, kitchens, and it's basically just glamping. There are honorary members who don't have to pay for their membership, and since the issue of being all male has come up multitude of times, in order to placate this clearly sexist establishment, they have issued 4 honorary women members, all of whom were dead. This was during the first 2 decades of the club, and they were not allowed full privilege. One of these women is a woman known as Sarah Jane Lippincott. She was an author, a poet, a corresponder, a lecturer, and a newspaper founder. She was one of the first women to gain access into the congressional press galleries, and she used this to advocate for social reform and women's rights. So other notable figures, like names that you might recognize, because there's a long fucking list. The list is not public anymore, but the list of like previous members you can get to.
It's been leaked, though. You can find it.
Oh, I wasn't that invested.
there's one guy, I don't know if you'll talk about him, but there's this one guy who has devoted his life to like basically bringing down the Bohemian Club.
That's amazing.
And he like doesn't get very far.
Yeah. So recognizable names are like Richard Nixon, both the George Bushes, Herbert Hoover, Bobby Kennedy, Neil Armstrong after he came back from the moon. And then the current member list is more private, except for, you know, I guess there's a leaked version of it. But the key takeaways is that the lists includes cabinet officials, CEOs of large corporations, major financial institution leaders, major military contractors, oil companies, all the bank leaders, including the Federal Reserve. And why is this important? Well, if you haven't noticed any red flags, let me help identify them for you. These are the people that basically run the world. It's all men. Many of these men didn't hold some of the titles that they would go on to hold before joining. So if you didn't get that, men who we know now as being important leaders were not important leaders when they joined the Bohemian Club. They joined the Bohemian Club, went to these parties, made connection, mm-hmm. and then eventually became said important leaders, whether they are qualified or not.
Well, and it's all based on money. Isn't there a basic, like, you have to be this rich to be a member.
Right,
like,
you have to pay the dues,
but you have to, your net worth has to be a certain amount before you can even be considered, I believe.
Probably.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all rich people, so, I mean.
Like, you can't just, like, you can't just be, like, a really cool dude that's, like, but I have no money, but no. I really believe in everything you're doing. Like, no. They're still not going to let you in.
No.
Like, it's, you it's have to be still rich, privileged and you have to by be money as well.
Important.
Yeah.
So, So, before, like, many of the things that they discussed, laws, policies, etc. Oh, Open, apparently, I put a little note here. Oppenheimer apparently came to this little club while he was building his giant-ass bomb. These things were discussed during the sleepaway camp. Anybody get that reference? Even though it's not what it's supposed to be for, and it's quote-unquote secret. Sleepaway Camp is a horror movie, by the way. Everyone should watch it. Because the ending is just like, what the fuck? It's actually, the ending is what the fuck in like a, I'm uncomfortable now. All right, so the club itself tries really hard to seem super intelligent and full of intellectuals with their plays and deeper meanings to the point of nauseism. Pretentious is the first word that comes to mind. The club motto is, weaving spiders come not here. A line from a Midsummer Night's Dream implying that all outside concerns and business deals are to be left outside, even though they are outside, so it doesn't make any sense. Like, they're outside. Okay. Now that you know all of the kind of boring aspects of this group, important rich men with power get together for 2 weeks in the California Redwoods on private property for possible circle jerking, either literally or metaphorically. So let's get into the why I was like, ooh, to this story. Many people have infiltrated the Grove, top-notch former military-powered security, which is the security they have, by the way. Like, it's top-notch military-powered security, to see what is happening. And many have gone on to write articles or to make documentaries. One article in 1981 in a publication called Mother Jones speaks of all the inner workings of this elite-class power-driven dynamic of men, predominantly white men. In 1981, there was only one man who wasn't white, and he was Filipino. So I'm going to quote this article for like a little bit because it was a really good article. Mind you, this is like in the 80s though. So, oh, why must the world be husband, father, and son? Oh wait, this is what. So I think yeah, I'm quoting. Fuck, I didn't read this ahead of time, and it's been like several weeks since I wrote it. Okay, so I think this is. Part of the play. Oh, why must the world be husband, father, son? I am woman. What is my role? This question could rightly be asked by the wife of any bohemian denied entrance to the Grove for the 2 weeks her husband is there. They're being sung by a bohemian himself. Olympias, the 1980 Grove play, has reached one of its hit points. Rhea, goddess of earth, the quote-unquote female lead, is agonizing over a woman's place in the universal order. These plays cost upward to $25,000. The play depicts Cornus, the harvester, has declared himself god of the universe, and to prevent his offspring from upspurring him, he devours them. But he is undone by his wife Rhea and his mother Gaia, who help a son escape, and that son is Zeus. When fully grown, he will challenge his father, having freed an army of demigods banished by his father to the underworld. Zeus wins and pledges to establish a new just reign and create a race of humans touched by divinity yet humbled by mortality. To these bohemians, it's not just entertaining, it's inspiring. The play's message, the world is dominated by men because that is the way the universe is meant to be. When the time is right, a father passes his reins of authority down to his son. That son does likewise when his time comes. As for women, she exists to bear children, strengthen and maintain the integrity of the family. Her place is to honor and support her husband, except if he refuses to abide by the natural order, only then must she rise up against him so that the son may take his rightful place in the cosmic scheme. And that is a quote from that Mother Jones article in 1981, because that was just to give you kind of like a mindset of the majority of the men who come to this fucking Grove. And then there's Alex Jones. Now, if you don't know who he is, he's considered a far-right, alt-right radio show host, avid conspiracy theorist. He also has a website called InfoWars, and he just got sued by the family.
He just lost all his money from
Sandy Hook because he's the stupid motherfucker that was like, that didn't happen. So he also has an incredibly annoying radio man voice that apparently is his actual voice. It's really bad. Look it up. Okay, anyway, That's not the point of all this. He made a documentary about the dark secrets of the Bohemian Grove. So let me spare you 2 hours of your life. It's awful body cam footage for a good hour before the, and before that, it's a lot of him talking about himself and a few local interviews.
Ew.
Yeah, and I want to preface that this guy didn't finish college, okay? Which doesn't make him dumb, but he talks a lot about ancient rituals with seemingly no real background of knowledge, but whatever, it does make for a fun story. So as I mentioned, the sleepaway camp program is dramatic, and they dig it. They put on an annual show, including something called the Cremation of Care. Old Jones here is claiming that the founders of this club were infatuated with the occult, and he says that the basis of these plays or rituals go all the way back to ancient Babylon. Okay. So the play slash ceremony, whatever you want to call it, includes men dressed as priests, that was a little hard, with one being the high priest, and a bunch of monologues about care, and the quote-unquote temple aisles of the wood, which are made for your delights and to burn away the sorrows of yesterday. Cast your grief to the fires and be strong with the holy trees and the spirits of the grove. This is what this play is saying to them. All of this is done in front of a giant, seemingly sculpted from stone owl, who they are essentially worshiping, the owl of the grove, which it is known. There's even a funeral pyre because they are going to burn cares away. Yep, but care itself is like hell and no, and hell, wait, hold on, but care itself is like hell no, and comes blazing out trying to intimidate the priests, and some dramatic word fight ensues, and care is slain. Many also take this as being a metaphor for Christianity's defeat over pagans, but whatever. So now when I say drama, I mean it so as care is screaming, fools! And the priest and the high priest exclaim, oop, my paper folded over, hold on. Dramatic pause. We shall burn thee once again this night and in the flames that eat thine effigy. We'll read the sign, Midsummer, set us free! And then they all kind of cheer it together. Then a booming voice shouts through the grove, spoiler, it's the owl, and care, aka worry slash anxiety, is banished yet again. This is also the cue for those attending that they are free to go get fucked up. But we'll get to that. All right, so the play itself doesn't seem so bad, except the part that also the CIA.gov left out. So the CIA.gov actually has documents about the Bohemian Grove and like the shit that goes on in the Bohemian Grove.
Well, yeah, of course.
They didn't put any of that in there.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah. Oh, this was the part that they left out. Was the burning of a body or something that looks like a body. It's supposed to be like cares. It's the cares, you know, burning the cares away. But it legit looks like a fucking body, so... Yeah.
People have been burning effigies for a while now.
I know, right? Like. So, priests with torches and figures that Jones describes as KKK suits carry a body shrouded and covered into the lair of the priest, and they set it ablaze. And according to old Jones' bones, this could possibly be a real sacrifice. But either way, it's still a sacrifice, and it's meant to fulfill an ancient Canaanite Luciferian Babylonian mystery religion ceremony. His words, not mine.
He forgot a few ancient like civilizations to throw in there.
Right? He's just really mashing them all in there.
Like, let me think of all of the ones that sound the coolest.
Right?
And I'm gonna put, I bet he had like up on a whiteboard like 7 different ones.
Which ones are the most demonic?
Which ones together sound the coolest?
Yes. So I love me a good conspiracy here, and maybe I even believe a few of these sacrifices for power and riches to be true, and I'm looking at you, Rockefellers. But after watching this horribly long and horribly recorded and voiced over nonsense, I don't really think the club is that. So going back to the first article I mentioned, the writer was a guest for 2 weeks. After this ceremony, the crowds disperse, and the men either go back to their camps or to the bars. Many of them go to the bars. And women, of course, are not allowed on site, except for prostitutes, of course. Gotta get those ladies of the night. So working women, even in 1981, who visited the grove in various forms of dress, who also know how to manipulate and work these men. So from the writer's perspective, nothing happened within the camp, and most of the men propositioned were too impotent to fully accept, but at least 20 of them did, and they went off-site for the rest. And the rest stayed in the camps, dancing like fools and drinking. He even added a wonderful analogy of how these men think they are the rulers of the world, but when it comes to other things, they are clearly not in charge. Women are. So clubs as this are all over the world. They are a thing. Secret groups of rich and powerful men coming together to make friendships and deals that in the end will only benefit them and will cost the rest of us. In closing, I'll end with the other journalist who accompanied Jones on his little trip and what he surmised the club to be. My lasting impression was of an all-pervading sense of immaturity. And these are the people who are ruling our world. The Elvis impersonators, the pseudo-pagan spooky rituals, the heavy drinking. These people might have reached the apex of their professions, but emotionally they seem trapped in their college years. And that, my not rich friends, are the people ruling the world.
So I have to add some stuff.
Okay, go ahead.
So there's another conspiracy theory.
Okay.
It's not, like, everyone, like, yes, the ritual part.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, like, the big conspiracy theory that this guy that I mentioned, like, so podcast conspiracy theories, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They did a two-part on this, and it's really good.
Mm.
And one of the things they talked about was this guy who's been...
Maybe I should have listened to it.
No, it's cool because you covered a different part. Like, okay. This is, I mean, they cover that too, but, like,
yeah.
There's another side to it. So the other side to it is they also have a very important person come and be a speaker at the party.
Yeah.
Regularly.
Yeah.
And it's always somebody like Warren Buffett or Donald Rumsfeld.
Right.
And there are specific examples, and these speeches can be found sometimes,
mm-hmm.
like after the fact. And these speeches are giving them the next step. Like, this is what I see. Like, Rumsfeld's talking about drone warfare 15 years before drone warfare was a thought in anyone's mind.
Yeah.
It's this, like,
yeah.
All right, important people, come together.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give you a speech, and you're going to take this information.
Right.
And you're going to, like,
right.
run with it, basically.
Yeah.
And the conspiracy is that, like, one guy has this idea, and these people then that are part of our government in all levels take it and basically make it
happen,
the reality. But yeah, like Rumsfeld talked about drone warfare at the Bohemian Club ages before it was a thought in anyone's mind. I mean, he didn't call it drone warfare. He called it, like, I forget, something else.
Something
but, like,
yeah.
basically the idea of non-using soldiers.
Yeah.
Like, Warren Buffett talked about, I think it was the cashless society. Like,
oh, yeah.
You're like, I don't remember exactly, so don't come for me if I'm wrong. But anyway, it's this idea that the real conspiracy and the real threat... Fuck the ceremony. The real threat is that this is the place, and every Republican president since Nixon has been granted access without that's just a set thing.
Mm-hmm.
No Democrats since Nixon, because Kennedy was, but they haven't since then.
Wasn't Hunter Biden there though? Hunter Biden's been there. He's been there.
He was a member?
No, he was allowed access.
Like, he was allowed access, but he's not a member.
No.
But all Republican presidents, they wouldn't let Trump in.
What?
Which cracked me up. So, and he was mad about it, too. He was so mad about it.
It was either Reagan or Nixon made a quote. He wasn't a member. He was allowed to go.
Right.
He called it something, and it was because the quote was kind of not PC, so that's why I didn't use it.
Yeah.
He wasn't impressed with it, basically, is what it comes down to.
Yeah,
he didn't give a fuck about it. But that was what I was alluding to in the beginning, is that you have all of these rich and powerful people with various jobs from... It's like a melting pot of the most important jobs.
It's a conflict of interest, 100%.
Totally.
It's and a total conflict of
interest.
They're
all coming together to discuss ideas of ways that essentially they can make money, that they can get more powerful,
right.
and how they're going to do that.
Because that's what this guy, he's like taking these specific speeches and tying them to things that then happen, like specifically, which is so... Which is what has people go down the rabbit hole, which is
so crazy.
And it's not,
because it's not just a bunch of men getting together, just getting drunk and fucking prostitutes and probably each other. It's a lot more than that. And it's just concerning because there's not representation
Like, that's what his idea is mostly, is that those things should be public knowledge.
Yes.
Like, okay, Rumsfeld came and talked about drone warfare. That should have been part of the public lexicon, not a secret squirreled away thing. Like, he's like, the world keeps changing and things keep happening, but, like, to keep it secret is the part that he's kind of, like, going up against, basically, yeah. which is kind of cool. Also, there's a lawsuit. They got sued because...
A couple times.
Yeah, because of the women working there, because mm-hmm. they couldn't pee outside comfortably.
So, women are allowed to work in the yes. parking lot.
I know.
Women can hold jobs, but only in the parking lot. That is it. Unless they're prostitutes, then they're allowed on property. And
yeah,
then that's
they
it.
But they that was like a major lawsuit thing for like a couple of years, and like they basically they kind of lost the lawsuit.
They did,
but it's still like and it's still kind of thing. But then as a woman, I go back to this whole thing and go, I wouldn't
want to be a part of that.
Yeah,
that.
So like it's like a weird thing. I mean, I feel weird about it because I'm like, yeah, no, I don't. I'm like, I. It's cool that they brought a lawsuit against them, but I'm also like, mm-mm. icky. Like, it's so icky. Mm-mm.
Well, yeah, well, because they're not going to look at you like you're a fucking human. And whatever yeah. you say is not going to fly. Because they don't listen to you, like, at all.
Yeah.
I mean, like, one of their plays is all about, you know, just women being beneath men. They still really believe the, like, Adam and Eve story, like, really hard, so.
Yeah. It's creepy. But, yeah, I was, like, they talk about that side of it pretty in detail in that. I might be in the second part of it. It's pretty interesting, though, like, just to hear the different things, like... But, yeah, like, Trump was super pissed because they wouldn't let him in. And and he talked about it, which he wasn't supposed to.
Well, if they're not going to let him in, fucking talk, man, right?
He was, like, talking about it, and he's just, like, he was so pissed. Like, he's like, I'm a president. And they were like, yeah, no, you're not coming. And, like, I just think it's so funny. Like, the whole thing's so ridiculous. They're, like, children.
They are.
They're so children.
A bunch of immature men that are running our country.
For real.
Trying to get richer while we all get poorer and the middle class becomes less and less.
All right. I got a cool lady suffragist story.
Okay. Sorry. I'm like watching something over there.
There's doings are transpiring outside.
There's a happenings.
All right. So I randomly came across this. This isn't even like, it doesn't even fit any of our things, but I just wanted to tell this story because I think it's crazy and awesome. Well, I haven't decided if I think it's awesome. It's yep. definitely crazy. I'm not sure if it's awesome.
Okay.
But we'll just go with it. So June 4th, 1913, Emily Wilding Davison, not
David.
Davidson, yeah. Which has been like, I keep saying it wrong. All right, so she's British. We're in England, first of all. Let's transport across the pond.
She's
I will
British.
Not be doing any British accent. But, so anyway, on this day, June 4th, 1913, there is a huge horse race going on called the Epsom Downs, okay? And it's, like, one of the most important races in the world at this time. It's kind of like how the Kentucky Derby is now. Mm-hmm. Like, all the important people are there. Especially, like, in Britain. Like, yeah. in England. So, basically, she jumps onto the track.
What? Oh, I think... Okay.
And it's hit by a horse.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she's basically, like, knocked out. Okay, and everyone's like, holy shit, what just happened? And I'll get to it in a minute, but it was actually filmed, which is really rare for that time.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, it's one of those interesting things. Like, you gotta love how, like, it's like the Kennedy thing. Like, people didn't have cameras like we do now.
But yet there's still
but there's footage. A footage,
yeah.
you know, like, of these interesting events. But anyway, I don't want to go down a Kennedy conspiracy right now. I already know who killed Kennedy. All right, so Emily Davison, just a little bit about her first, and then we'll go back to what happened that day. She was born in 1872, middle-class British family. She got to go to college, which good for her at
yeah.
that time. She went to Hughes College. She graduated and became a militant member of the Women's Social and Political Union, known as the WSPU. And they were basically the British suffragists.
Mm-hmm.
It was founded in 1903, and their whole, you know, deal, same as it was in America, was to get women the right to vote, okay? And they were pretty militant, and I'll go into that in a little bit, but they were not just, like, protesting. They were,
yeah.
like, out there doing shit, like, breaking the law shit. So, like I said, it was caught on film, And we'll talk about this too. There's a lot of debate about whether this helped the movement or hurt the movement.
Okay.
If we're being like, yeah. And I can honestly come down on either side of it mm-hmm. because I can totally see both sides of it. But anyway, they really, like I said, believed strongly in direct action. Like, they didn't think that just protesting was enough. They wanted to do things to, like, get their
point across.
Yeah. And as I said, this was a super important horse race. And the horse that she ended up grabbing the reins of was called Anmer. And it was owned by King George V.
Oh.
And there's a lot of debate about whether she particularly picked that horse
yeah.
or not. Because, like, it's not like he's riding the horse. A jockey's riding the horse. So, like, it's
yeah.
like, but she might have done her research and found out. And a lot of people think that she they're in the video. Apparently, you can hear her coming out and yelling votes for women before she gets, like,
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So she makes a motion too to, like, grab the reins. Like, she's going to, like, grab the reins of the horse.
And it did not work out.
No, it really didn't. And, like, right after she's knocked down, like, crowds, like, descend. Everyone comes onto the track. And she cracked her skull, and she was unconscious. And she was taken to the hospital, where she died several days later.
Yeah, yeah.
But
I can see that.
But here's the thing. Like, that's what I was saying. Like, the reaction was kind of mixed. The press was mostly worried about the horse and the jockey. Like, that's what they covered.
Okay.
Like, if they would recover. And then there was a lot of debate about whether or not a woman committing such violent acts deserved the right to vote.
Yeah.
Like, it kind of changed. It was like they gave them more fuel to yeah. say, like, why are we giving these crazy bitches the right to
right.
vote when they're jumping onto horse tracks? Like,
right.
And I mean, like I said, you can totally see how either side could spin that.
Yeah.
So, which is why there's a lot of debate about whether it helped or not.
Because yeah.
it like takes another 5 years before women get the right to vote. It's
right.
not like her doing this. Like,
it was like immediate. Like,
yeah.
All right. These women are ready to sacrifice themselves for the right to vote.
And she got hate mail in the hospital.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, from people saying like she was crazy.
Can we just pause? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I love that this is 1913.
Yes.
And it is very comparable to 2023.
Mm-hmm.
Like, anybody does anything
oh
against social norms or things that people may necessarily not like, and the social media gets flooded with just hate comments.
I know.
And I love in 1930, it was literally the same thing, except in pen form.
Yes.
Pen and paper.
Yeah, like 1913 in the hospital, she's getting all these, like, angry letters from people and stuff. I mean, she was unconscious, so she didn't have to
right.
see them.
Right, but I just
yeah.
find the audacity of people thinking that
they know better.
Well, they have a, like, you're entitled to your opinion, but that they have a right to, you know,
mm-hmm.
spew that shit out there. Like,
yep.
People are hilarious.
But her fellow suffragists did decide to use this moment. And so they put together a very public funeral. A couple days later, like the 14th, so like, you know, like whatever, I can't do math. six days later. Oh my God. My daughter's
seven.
Yelling.
Six.
Six. Six. My daughter's yelling at me at home right now going, Mommy, why can't you do math?
Because I'm old and they didn't teach us well in school, child.
I need new math. I do. I would be so much better at math if I had new math. Okay. I want people to stop in the world complaining about new math, because, like, I get that people have their issues with it, but, like, seriously.
I haven't gotten there yet, so I don't know.
No, like, oh, you teach math in multiple ways so that children that learn differently can learn it differently?
Yeah,
oh,
no.
I was one of those children.
I didn't get math. Like, I got it as soon as I was in the classroom, and if I waited an hour, it was like it never happened.
Children left behind me.
Yeah.
But, like, what they're doing is focusing on different learning methods. So, like, it was always, like, math, this is how you do it. Now it's,
yeah.
like, using visuals, like, using a line or something to, like...
Isn't that how they teach it in, like, Japan?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. All I know is it's way better, and I'm like, see, I don't know if I'd have been... I still probably wouldn't have been good at math.
No.
But I probably could have done better in school in math
yeah.
had I been given more, like...
Right, like, we're not... We might be able to do basic math, but we're not, like, you know, running out and writing code for, like, nuclear bombs and shit.
Right. So, okay. So, giant funeral. Back. We'll stop talking about math. That's just...
Fuck math. Anyway.
No, I hate it.
The key to the universe. Fuck math.
Universal language. Yeah, I hate you.
I hate language, too.
I'm going to write them a nasty... I'm going to write math a nasty letter.
Is there a website, like, math.com? Like,
fuck you, math.
Mathematics.com. Anyway.
Okay.
Tangent.
Okay, so, like, big funeral, and over 5,000 people came from all over Britain to London for this funeral. Oh, so, cool. Women from all over, and some men, like, it, like any movement like that, there are men supporting it.
There's some good dudes out there.
They were dressed in white. Like, you know, like there's pictures of it. And they took her body, you know, in an open carriage drawn by four horses through London, you know, like they made a big show of it.
Yeah.
And it was an opportunity for them all to come together and kind of like, you know, vocalize their cause some more.
Yeah.
And I will go, I feel a little bit bad for this guy, but like a little bit, I'll just say that. It's not his fault. The jockey had nothing to do with any of this. Yeah. Like, he's just riding a horse.
He's just trying to run a fucking race.
So he gets knocked off.
Beat later.
He gets knocked off the horse.
Oh.
And he's down for a minute, but he does get back up. The horse trots off and finishes the race. It's hilarious, like, because he's just like, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah,
I'm
good a for horse. The horse.
Yeah. So he wasn't that hurt, and they both competed not long afterwards. Like, they were both okay.
Yeah.
But he was kind of, he was like tormented by it for years because he like feels like he, I mean, he didn't kill her.
What
but,
would
like,
he have done?
I know, but it really upset him and he committed suicide in 1951. But that's like 20, like it's a lot of years later. So I don't know what else happened in his life between then. Like I read that and went, that's a lot of years.
Right.
But I guess he like, I didn't do a deep dive into the jockey, but like, I guess he was really upset by it and felt really like terrible about
it. I mean, any normal
it.
Person obviously would. You just trampled a woman with your fucking horse.
So,
but it wasn't your fault.
So back to our friend, Emily. She never told anyone that she was doing this, which I think is super weird. Like you're in this like group, like, mm-hmm. you know, like she never was like, hey, I'm going to go and do this. So it really brings her motives into question, like, because it's just so unclear. Like, obviously we know that she was trying to get attention to the issue, but like, did she want to be a martyr? Like, was she trying to die?
Yeah.
Most people say no, because she did have a train ticket back. Because it wasn't in London, it was like south of London. And so she did have a train ticket home. So most people don't think that she was like trying to like martyr herself or commit suicide.
I love that she thinks that she would have gotten away with this.
I know. And like a lot of people think that she was trying to put like a flag, like a suffragette flag on that horse. Which is why she was trying to grab the reins or whatever.
But during a race?
And apparently they practiced this before with some of the other people from the group.
Shut up.
But like... I just think it's really crazy. Like, I feel like it's a great story, but I'm also like, there's so many other ways that you could probably have, like...
Yeah, done this?
Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Wait till the race is over, then jump on the track or something.
Or wait till, the, like, the winner is, like, in their little winner circle,
yeah,
and then
you
do
it. Yeah. But she was, like, she was kind of a daring, crazy person. She'd been arrested... oh my god, I had it and I just lost it. She was arrested no less than 9 times, and every time this group would get arrested, they would do a hunger strike in prison. So prison would force feed them because they were like...
Why would they care?
I don't know. I think it's like...
That's my thing, is like, why would they care? Like, you're in fucking prison, you're in trouble, they're offering you free food, you don't want to eat it, then fucking starve.
I agree. But this was like a common theme for this group in England. They would get force fed, and she had 49 force feedings during her time in prison. And then I'm like, that's my thing. I'm like, clearly this isn't working. Maybe you need a new strategy.
Yeah, right?
And it's really horrific the way that they do it. So, like, they use an instrument to open their mouths, and, like, it's awful.
Dig a pipe down in there.
So, like I said, it wasn't uncommon for her to be crazy, I guess, like, to do crazy things. Like, one time she was in prison, she was in Holloway Prison in 1912, like, a year before that. She was like upset about the abusive treatment of suffragettes in prisoner, like mm-hmm. prisoners. So she threw herself off of a balcony, which she survived. And she was like, her quote was, "One big tragedy may save many others." So like, again, it goes back to like, I know she had the train ticket home, but maybe she really just wanted to like martyr herself because yeah. like she's clearly shown that behavior before.
Yeah.
So like I said, it doesn't matter either way, but it is questionable.
But it also just makes me question her mental status because
yeah,
do you
definitely.
Really think throwing like, yourself off a balcony is going to help the situation?
I know. I really do think that like, you know, yeah.
Because if anything, her throwing herself off a balcony is just helping the opposition to the movement because there's one less of you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And like I said, this group like was very, and I don't like, I mean, whatever, but like they were, the reason they kept going to jail is because they would attack people's property. They would destroy property. They would go into museums and slash paintings. They would set fire to like mailboxes and stuff. So like they were... Like, and also stop slashing paintings. I understand that the art world is...
I don't understand that either.
I understand that the art world is misogynistic, but, like, stop it.
And that it's corrupt, but that doesn't mean the fucking piece itself is. Just, like, there's... You're never gonna
also,
replicate these things.
You have...
Stop!
You learn from history by learning from history.
Right.
It exists so we can learn from it.
Right.
Anyway... So sorry, just, that's, like, a personal thing. I'm an art...
No,
like,
I
that's a personal thing for me. Like, I saw that, and I'm like... I know I'm supposed to be on the side of these women, but that's one of those things that really bothers me.
Well,
now, like,
seen...
if you were slashing stuff that's, like... But, like, I...
Have you...
Never mind.
No. Have you
it's
seen
okay.
the new ones where they're just throwing buckets of paint on them?
Yes. Bothers me so
I just,
much.
Why?
Why? I get the corruption. I do. I probably know more than most people
like,
because I was an art history major and I studied this shit,
but
like...
But, like, it's... You're I... not gonna replace it. Why not just fucking... Fuck up the building that the painting is in. You know what I mean? Like
or something else. Like
all
anyway.
Like the corrupt people who've donated to it. Like I. Don't know.
But yeah. So anyway, they were literally like they were constantly doing these types of things.
Yeah.
Which is why they were in prison all the time. Because like they weren't wrongfully, and that's the thing. And nobody's trying to say they were wrongfully imprisoned. Like they were breaking the law. Like
right.
You know. Again. A lot of people debate whether or not, basically, that this helped. You know, yes, mm-hmm. they got that big funeral together. Yes, they all came together and mm-hmm. got their cause out there. But it literally was 5 more years before women got the right to vote.
Right.
And it did spark the other side of that conversation, which is, why
women
would we let
unstable.
These crazy yeah. women vote? Like, they clearly aren't making sane and rational decisions.
Right.
So, like, you know, anyway... Like I said, I could come down on either side of it. I don't feel strongly either way. I feel like the, like, I don't think her doing that really impacted any of
nope,
the.
Nope, not at all. No.
The stuff. But.
Because there are better ways to have done it.
Yeah.
You know?
But like, she is a symbol to the suffragist movement and to the feminist movements, you know, of times gone. Like, that, you know, this is, like, saying enough's enough and taking action. And I do believe in taking action. I just think that...
Which is great, but certain actions...
Action that means I jump in front of a horse...
Is not,
not
it.
Not so much.
Actions that mean I'm going to possibly get myself killed... Not it.
I just... I don't know. It's... And I'm really, like, I... Just even... I read it this morning, and then just doing it again... I'm back and forth on whether or not I think she was, like, trying to martyr herself or not. Because, like, I really...
No, I think she totally was. Especially knowing that she was going to throw herself off a balcony with such a, you know...
Yeah, like, and... I mean,
my
like,
life
the train
for
ticket,
others!
The train ticket home was, like, the thing that kept me from thinking that. But I'm like, I don't know, like...
It could have just been, a, like, a plant.
Yeah, because, like, otherwise I feel like she would have told someone.
And not only that...
Like, she would have been like, hey, I'm planning this protest
right.
for...
Had she succeeded, did she really think she
race.
Was just going to walk off that fucking track?
Oh, no, she was going to go to jail again. She,
right.
You know, she hadn't been there for a minute, so I didn't look... I don't know when she got out, but
yeah.
but clearly she had been there a year before.
Yeah.
They probably let her out after that when she jumped off the balcony, like, go be...
Just go. Just go.
Go try to hurt yourself somewhere
Next time,
else.
Pick a bigger balcony or a higher balcony.
Yeah, like
I
probably I didn't
saying.
Have a lot of time this week, or I could have. I was like, I'm like, I want to know more about like the
this.
Heck happened here. Like, so that was a bare bones version of this, but I just thought it was a fun little thing. It came across my email the other day. I get like weird facts emails every day. Like,
well, that's cool.
Like random stuff. So, but I do have an idea for my next couple of episodes. So I'm excited.
I have one. It's just putting it on, like typing it out. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like make it in some sort of like linear structure that makes sense, that I can explain it so that it makes sense. But fun fact that while we were waiting for the stage to set up, Jared was looking at his phone and I happened to look down and he was looking at some like news articles and in which I was like, oh my God, and I grabbed it. So I, it's not an obsession. I just really am into like all of the history behind, like with Vlad Tepes, who was the inspiration behind Bram Stoker's Dracula, blah, 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 blah. And so they have documents that he actually wrote. And I looked, because I was like, this has got to be a fake fucking article. How could they ever know this stuff? But then I actually like clicked the links and found the actual study itself. So it's published study. I don't remember who did it because they were names that I really couldn't pronounce. And they used the DNA essentially from letters that he had written, and they were able to say, you know, like, well, he suffered from inflammation, which is basically everybody, but also that he possibly suffered from a rare condition where his tears would be mixed with blood, and it's called like hema something. I don't remember what it's called. And I'm like, how would you know this just from that? Like, that's amazing. But I think it also lends itself to the whole, probably his whole like mythos for like in his time,
right,
because
right.
if that's what he's doing,
yeah.
and it's a heavily, heavily like religious time, it just seems very like,
oh, yes, weird. That's going to stand out.
Yeah, right?
Especially if you're an important person.
Yeah.
If you're not an important person, you're probably going to get burned. But, like...
Right, yeah.
Because
yeah.
then you're a witch or something. But if you're important, then it, like...
Yeah.
I'm joking. No, I don't know, but... Well, I'm not joking. I speculate that.
But we don't even know where he is.
Right, I know.
So, like, sorry, that little church that keeps telling you he's there, he's not there. Like, what they dug up was an animal, and it was not him, but they won't talk to you about that anymore.
No, I know. No, so I think I'm going to do a series on, like, different artists.
Hmm.
Like, I think the first one I'm going to do is Van Gogh's ear.
Yeah!
There are so many theories about why Van Gogh cut his ear off. And I have my theories, of course, but... So it's just... And it's, like, I know it sounds horrible. It's about someone cutting their ear off, but it's actually really fun. Because... Let me just tell you, he was the most dramatic, like, the stereotype we have of artists being, like, super sensitive and dramatic,
yeah,
and, like,
right.
that was him. Yeah. Like, he was that guy. Like, it's so funny. So, I have an idea. I have a couple ideas I might be working on, so. But, yeah, so school starts tomorrow for me, and that's gonna be my life now.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's it.
Yeah. Happy back to school for all of our locals.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo! All right.
All right. Thanks for listening. Your moms love you.
Bye.
Goodbye.